Welcome to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, where it's all about slashing your debt, slashing your taxes, and creating a liberated lifestyle. And now, your host, who met his wife while training for the 400 meters in Seattle and is eating gluten-free whilst lusting after bread, Dave Denniston.
My name is Dave Denniston, and welcome back to the latest episode of the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. Well, one of the areas I am incredibly passionate about is doctors and white coats being business owners. Well, here we're in this world where our hospitals are gobbling more and more practices, and there are lots of financial and emotional incentives to start and to maintain your practice. Well, that's why I thought I would bring as a guest Dr. Ted Koren. Dr. Koren is a great entrepreneur and healer, and I think he has many words of wisdom that can help so many different white coats, whether you're a doctor, a dentist, or a chiropractor. And it all started in his own quest to heal from an accident. Dr. Koren began to research ways of improving care. So over a period of 10 years, he visited over 50 different chiropractors, healers, doctor workers, MDs, physical therapists, and didn't have any lasting results. And in this process, he was experimenting on himself. He has 10 years of pain and suffering that resolved in 1 week. And these years in suffering, they were this blessing in disguise because they led to the discovery of the Koren-specific technique, KST, which is now being practiced by thousands of healthcare practitioners around the world and helps millions of people achieve greater health and well-being. And he has his three C's, challenge, check, and correct. And so we're going to talk about that here a bit. Well, welcome, Ted.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much for that great introduction.
Oh, you're so welcome. Well, I think this is going to be really fun and interesting, and let's kick it off. Tell us a bit about you. I mentioned in the introduction that you were in this deep and dark place, and you were just filled with horrible pain for such a long time. Tell us more about your journey, about that time when you were in such pain, and how you've gotten to where you are now.
Well, what happened was I was in a home accident, and I had a concussion, almost lost three fingers.
Oh, my gosh.
A sharp. It wasn't a car accident. People say, you say I was in an accident, people say, assume car accident. A large piece of laminate furniture blindsided me, just tipped over. We just moved into our house, and things were piled up, and crashed down, and gave me a concussion. You know, when you have a concussion, you want to sleep. So it's one of the side effects. And I wound up sleeping like about 10 or 12 hours. But when I woke up, that's when my problems really started. I couldn't use my hands. I couldn't make fists. I couldn't open them. I was in constant pain, upper extremity, neck, head, shoulders, arms, hands. Plus, sciatica was getting horrible. I had slight bit of sciatica, but now it was almost constant, and some days I couldn't walk more than 10 feet. Even if we were in the city, I'd walk with my family and then sit, even on the sidewalk, and wait until the pain resided, only a minute or two. Like, I felt fine. I'd get up, walk another 10 feet, sit. Needless to say, it made traveling pretty difficult, at least walking. This went on for a long time. I had to give up my license to practice chiropractic. I couldn't use my hands. So I put my license on hold, and I started searching for somebody to help me. And I used up all the local chiropractors in the area. Being a chiropractor, I went there, and I started seeing people all over the country. I was traveling all over the U.S., and also I went to Canada. And I looked at chiropractors, physical therapists, medical doctors, osteopaths, craniosacral therapy, acupuncture, many different modalities and techniques, and nothing was giving lasting results. And I remember looking at a photo of three uncles, my grandmother's brothers, I guess they're granduncles, and the three of them, the brothers, they had walkers and canes, and I all had hip replacements and back surgeries, and I looked at that, and I thought, this is going to be my fate. Here I am, a chiropractor. We're supposed to get rid of those kind of problems. And
right.
I was getting worse and worse, and it was horrible. And I realized if I took concepts from a few different healthcare systems and merged them with an actual they call it an adjusting instrument, a very simple thing that taps, no heavy-duty electronic thing, but just a tapping instrument. It is electrical that taps at about 10 to 12 times a second. I could apply it to different parts of my body, and I'd know exactly where I needed to be worked on, and I'd know if I got it or not, whether I released the stress. And I was my first patient. I started working on myself, and after a few days, my symptoms resolved after 10 years. I started teaching, and so far we've taught over 3,000 people. And it's really not that well known, but doctors that use the work tell me their practices explode, that they're getting people better. They never thought, people that plateaued, you know, you see them a long time, they plateau. You see them over three times a week, twice a week, once a week, whatever. And after the first few visits where you have the most dramatic stress releases because you're breaking up old stress patterns, there's not real change.
That's what I admire about, you know, the situation. Here you were in a horrible place, and you found solutions, and now you're helping people. And so I think you're leaning towards this. And what you called the technique here is a healthcare system with a gentle yet powerful drug-free, natural, holistic approach for people of all ages and physical conditions. So tell us more about that. You know, what is in this technique? What is in this system?
Okay. The way I tell people, when they ask me what it is, I say, have you ever met a doctor who can locate your deepest stresses, both physical and emotional, stresses you might have carried for decades or since childhood, and then quickly release them and get rid of them? That's what I do. And of all the patients, the results are incredible. What we do is, We use biofeedback, a very simple way. Anyone can learn it. And we find what everybody else misses. One of the unique things about this work is you can put people in different postures. Because, you know, I say everybody works on patients when they're laying face down on a table. Whoever got hurt laying face down on a table? Mm-hmm. You know, the injury really happens, or the stress happens, is either micro or macro trauma from work, day-to-day things, or real big traumas and accidents. You're sure. In different positions. So, for example, you talked about dentists. I've had many dentists as patients, and we've had dentists learn this work because you can work on yourself, by the way. I forgot to mention that. I learned this by working on myself. And one of the big advantages is doctors work on themselves. Another advantage is that it's easy and gentle. So a lot of doctors get hurt doing years of structural. I'm referring to chiropractors, of course, but other doctors as well. I'll put a dentist in a certain position, the position that they generally work in, and usually in that position there's severe stress and damage going on, and that's the position you correct it in. That's why the results are so amazing, because you find stuff that is revealed in those positions. Surgeons, I've had many surgeons as patients. Surgery is very rough on their bodies. Standing in one position for so long, you actually have them go in that position. You know the old joke, doctor, it hurts when I do that? And the doctor says, don't do that. Well, with this work, I want you to do that. I want you to get into the position, the posture. Posture, that's an important word, of interference, stress, subluxation, damage, blockage. When I teach doctors, I say, just be an open slate. Be humble and let the body really open itself to you. Don't try to impose your will on the patient. Let the patient tell you what they need. And that is probably the most important thing, that the patient's not coming to you for you to be entertained. They're coming to you so that you will find out what they need, the deepest care on whatever level. So one of the beauties of this work is that it's a lot of fun because you're not bored. You're seeing different things on everybody. Everyone is totally unique. It doesn't beat your body up to work on people. It's gentle, and it's gentle on the patients. And, you know, a Corin-specific technique. And we have a live seminar. I prefer people do both. I prefer they get the home study, and so they get on the stand. They know the concepts, the general things they know about. We have 16 hours of videos on it, so they know what I look like. So that's not a shock when they come to the seminars. And then they have a live seminar.
What I think is so great about what you have going here, I mean, you have something very specific. It's very different. It's not the same. And I think that there's a lot of folks out there, whether they're doctors or dentists, chiropractors, that also have some great ideas they want to do to help heal folks in some manner or another. You mentioned you have DVDs and home study programs and live seminars. How would you recommend for other doctors or dentists to develop something like that? What do you think you would recommend to them?
Well, I hate for them to be in pain for 10 years. But one of the things you do is, really, your teachers are your patients. In order to really know what you're doing, you just have to keep your eyes open. I feel that we get the patients we deserve. It might sound a little flaky, but the universe seems to send us the patients that have the most lessons to teach us. And I've got doctors who say once they learn this work, suddenly they're getting all these weird cases they never would have ever seen before. But that's not unusual. Every person who's listening in private practice and whatever, group practices, people will come in and teach you. And I've also learned from my students. People say, this work has been influenced by many different healthcare systems, both Eastern and Western. But my students are my best teachers. We have a forum where people write ideas and get feedback, and it's a lot of fun. It's one of the things we include with learning the home study, when you're suddenly online with all these people asking all these questions. And
well, I think following that kind of system is awesome, and I think where medicine is headed is likely we're moving slowly and slowly for physicians to a more single payer system, it seems like, and I think we're really going to have this bifurcation of docs in private practice versus those that are in hospitals, and in terms of where people look to for advice. So if you're talking to young medical students that want to be entrepreneurs, want to start their own practices, you've been there, you've done that. What's the best, single best piece of advice you would give to a young doctor, or chiropractor, or dentist?
It's people that do this work generally start having cash practices. Doctors go from mostly insurance to mostly cash, usually within 6 months, and the patients will pay if they see real results.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's any single thing, because people can come to my seminar and not learn anything if they don't want to learn or if their head is in another place. Of course, somebody coming to my seminar wants to learn anyway, but we're dealing with a wide range of people with different personalities and needs. I've always been attracted to research and scientific study. And sort of like my clinical work always seemed like a sideline. I was always looking at patients and seeing, why is this not working? Everything I've done is built on failure. Probably the best advice you can give any new student is you'll have to fail a few times. And each failure will be, as they say, a stepping stone to success. It's not unusual to fail. It's good and it's natural. Every successful person I know, every billionaire, has failed numerous times.
Right.
Probably will continue to fail. Don't be afraid of failing. Don't be afraid of getting, your head bashed in and your teeth kicked in. Well, these are horrible stories. And, horrible examples. But don't be afraid of failure, even in personal life, with our family life. And, it's a way that we learn what our deficiencies are. What are our weaknesses? Where are we lacking? And, not to just wallow in grief, but to pick ourselves up and know what is this lesson. So the best thing to do is to try, because if you don't try, you'll never fail. And if you don't fail, you'll never succeed. So
love it.
I see people that take the easy way out. And I've known MDs and doctors, chiropractors and others, dentists, just work in a clinic, they work for someone else, and they just sit there, they're a cog in a wheel, and they just do their hours and go home and get their paycheck. But you know what? For them, that might be great. But I find that life's experiences are always pushing you deeper to keep trying. I'm sure in your life you've had failures, and you have this hunger to learn and do things. So, right? So, it's not just doctors, but all of us. We all have this this what is it called? This urge in us to reach out and to grow and to learn to love more and to feel more and to understand more. So, you know, because we're all going to die one day. And my vision has always been to die a little smarter than I was when I came in. I know, well, that's sort of not the answer maybe you were expecting.
No, I think that was great. I think I'll have to tell you a story another time about my biggest failure and the my whole transition over here to Minnesota. But I think one of the things, just kind of staying on this entrepreneurial route, because I really believe that's where a lot of physicians should be going and starting their own practices, taking that risk, that leap of faith to do it, because I think the financial rewards and emotional rewards are so much greater. And one of the things you did that I think could help build that for people was you sent me this book, How to Get Onto Radio and Television to Build Your Practice.
Oh, I forgot I sent you that. Oh, yeah. That was fun.
And it's a really good piece, I thought. And one of my favorite steps was step 4 about contacting the producers. And I was just laughing when you wrote that the producers, they don't care about necessarily what you do. It's about getting people well or about helping humanity. They do care about having an interesting guest on their show so that their show can have higher ratings and make more money.
Oh, yeah, they don't care. They don't really give a damn what you're doing as long as the ratings go up.
That's right.
You could be dancing with an elephant. As long as the ratings go up, they're happy.
And so what you talked about in the step 4 is you had a script, which I thought would be good to run people through, you know, because I think people need to get that media exposure, whether it's online, TV, whatever, for what not to say versus what to say.
Oh, yeah. I have to put on my marketing hat now. I'm just switching gears. When I was in college, I went to the University of Miami, and I was a disc jockey there. WVUM, the Voice of the University of Miami. And so as a DJ, I was, I'd get up early. I had the graveyard shift, and I learned. I learned how to run the board. I had to get an FCC license those days. It was not easy. You had to take exams and all. So I had my radio, a whole radio show. It was really cool. And then when I got out into private practice, I was starving because I didn't know how to run a business. I never had business experience. You know, one thing, you said, what's the one thing doctors should do? I said, well, get a coach. Get someone who, they have management companies and all that. Some of them are good. Some of them are probably not as good. Like everything in life, you have to have the right fit. Excuse me. So I started calling radio and TV shows to get on, and they shot me down. I mean, I couldn't get through my foot in the door. I was getting rejected all the time, but I was single then, so I was used to getting rejected. So that was nothing unusual for me. So what did I do? So I started figuring out exactly what to say to get on. You know, what was my hook? What did they want? And after I figured what I was doing wrong, I got on every radio and TV show in the greater Philadelphia area, everyone that had doctors or, you know, guests on. I mean, it was no brainer. And one of the things I realized, what you don't say is, hi, I'm Dr. Corin, and I'd like to be on your show so you could build my practice, you know, something like that. You never say, you just talk about, instead you say, hi, I'm Dr. Corin, and I'd like to talk about blah, 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 because it's a topical issue. It's really hot now, and people will listen in and call in, especially if it's radio, they call in. And I think you'll really enjoy this topic. And it'll, you know, what you're really saying is this will be good for ratings. This will build you up. This will be great for your show. People will enjoy it. And you have to sound entertaining over the phone. Because if you sound like a boring person, if you have a horrible accent that somehow you speak slowly or whatever, you have to sound entertaining and engaging. That helps a lot. And what you do is you look up media things going on that you think you could relate to. It's practically every day there's something in the newspaper or the internet or TV, whatever, radio, that has a hook, has an angle that you could talk about that the public is interested in. I'm not kidding. Every single day stuff happens that you can, you know, tell really cool, you know, have a good angle on in your profession and use that. And then, you know, I talk about how to further in the care and feeding of the host and things like that. But I use that, and I was getting on TV and radio all over the place. And it built my practice. My practice went from almost nothing to, you know, practically standing room only. I was totally booked for weeks on end just from a few good radio shows. And I get into what to say. You know, not just, you know, and how to use props and you know, just the little things, little tips that I learned over the years on how to make a radio or TV show successful.
And that was all before all this stuff happened with you. And, you know, one of the things I love to do, Ted, is really turn people on to some good resources. So here we got to wrap up in the next couple minutes. But outside of perhaps some of your own materials, what are some other good resources regarding either how you built your practice or healing techniques that you would recommend to other white coats, maybe some good books or videos that they could check out?
My Bible is Divided Legacy by Harris L. Coulter, C-O-U-L-T-E-R. Coulter is a medical historian and a researcher and a theoretician, one of the best, most brilliant people I've ever had the pleasure of meeting, and he died about 5 years ago. He wrote a series of books called Divided Legacy. I recommend Volume 4, and it'll give you the philosophical, intellectual framework to know why you do what you do. It's a history of medicine. You go off history of medicine, that's boring. No, it's incredibly exciting. And it talks about medicine, not really from a clinical standpoint, as most histories have prior done, but from a philosophical standpoint. Philosophically, why has it practiced this way and that way, and what changes went on? What's the thinking behind it? You have to understand your philosophy. What is your basic way of looking at nature, at the body, in health and disease? To me, that was more important than any of the clinical books I read later or concurrently, because it gave me a framework. You have to have a solid framework. What was it, Euripides, who said, I'm sure I have the person wrong, give me a place to stand and a lever, and I can move, a lever long enough, and I can move the earth. Hmm. You need a place to stand, a solid place to stand first. Your practice, your profession is the lever or the lever, and that will change the world. But you first have to be on solid footing. And my work, what I teach, has to be based on a solid philosophical footing. You have to know what you do and why you do it. Why is more important, so then you can continue. So I would recommend Harris Coulter's books far above any. Divided Legacy, they're out of print, but you can get them, I think, in... probably maybe Amazon.
Online.
Online. They're marvelous. There's a 4-volume set. Get Volume 4. That's really the key one. Although, get all of them. Collect the whole set. You know, Volume 4 is really great.
Awesome. So, well, there's so much more that we just don't have time to cover today. Do you have any closing thoughts that you think folks should consider or be aware of?
Oh, I think what I just said prior is most important. You know, understand what's the philosophy. Every healing art has a philosophy, whether it's medicine, osteopathy, chiropractic, homeopathy, Western healing, whatever, dentistry. Everyone has a philosophy, a basis on which their research goes. Research comes out of philosophy. Scientific research is based on the philosophical, a lot of times unconscious biases, prejudices, and premises that we have. So understand that. And that's what all of my writings are based on. Korn's specific technique is really based on that, a philosophical foundation first. And if doctors are interested in learning about it, they can go to our website, KorenSpecificTechnique.com. K-O-R-E-N, Gorin, specifictechnique.com, or call the office and, be happy to talk to them about it. So thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm so glad to have you. And I want to emphasize to folks, I think, Dr. Gorin's last point there, that one of the things you can do to really ground your practice is letting people know your philosophy. So you have that grounding there, and then you want to make people aware of what that is. So what makes you different? And Dr. Corin here has done a fantastic job of doing something and branding himself, which is something that physicians haven't wrapped their arms around. So congratulations to you on that, Dr. Corin. That's fantastic.
Thank you. You're very kind.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being with us. And if you are a white coat out there listening, you're an entrepreneur, you're someone else servicing them, you want to tell your story, grappling with tough issues like these, you want to get on Soapbox for a few minutes, I would love to share it too in the next Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. Make sure to contact me at dave@daviddeniston.com or on my website, daviddeniston.com/physicians or drfreedompodcast.com. For the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, this is Dave Deniston. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and check back in again soon. Have a good one.